You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. It's nice to have you back right after the Holy Mass. Every Tuesday and Friday afternoon, we get together and talk about our Bible stories. We talk about Scripture. We talk about things that, you know, pertain to us today currently as well. And so, brothers and sisters, being the last day of August, I wanted to share with you and once in a while, I'll bring this kind of broadcast to you. It might happen every month. It might happen in October or whatever. But it's just in respect to the world of Marian apparitions. And I guess I personally just love hearing these testimonies, these apparitions of our Blessed Mother appeared to so many around the world. And, you know, the very first apparition of Mary appeared in the year 40, when Mary was still alive. She was living in Jerusalem and appeared to the Apostle James the Greater in Spain. The apparition was controversial in Spain, but was later approved by the Congregation of Rites in 1723 under Pope Innocent XIII. The first apparition was really a bilocation, since Mary was physically present in Jerusalem when she appeared in Spain. The supernatural aspects of the account are described in the book called The Mystical City of God. Right? So that's a real interesting book as well. So Marian apparitions generally include four components. We have the visionary, the experience, the message, and the miracles. But within this framework, there has been a wide variety. The visionaries are sometimes children, sometimes professed religious, and sometimes lay adults, right? But the experiences all include Our Lady, but sometimes she appears in her fullness, other times merely as a voice, and still other times as a statue or image that moves or speaks. The messages are almost always centered on prayer and repentance, but sometimes they also include warnings for the world. And of course, the miracles vary widely, from images to one-time spectacles, but they're almost always testable by outside experts, so that the church and the world have some proof that something extraordinary happened. And with that in mind, brothers and sisters, I don't want to go too much into that, but I wanted to focus our attention for this month, for the end of this month, from Rwanda, and Mary's appearance in Kibeho, a small town about 20 miles from Butare in southern Rwanda, were the first apparitions in Africa to receive official recognition from the church. The message didn't have a local character. It didn't concern only Rwanda. Its content was universal. Alphonse, Natalie, Marie-Claire, Stephanie, Agnes, Emmanuel, and Vestine. These are the names of the seven young people who were witnesses to the apparitions of the Holy Mother in Africa. The Holy Mother said that her African message was directed to the whole world, and yet it was passed on by the visionaries in an unusual way, with the help of singing, gestures, fasting, and even dancing. This is the language of the Rwandan people. There were seven visionaries, but only the apparitions received by three of them have been acknowledged as authentic. Bishop Augustin Misago, who chaired the commission charged with examining the apparitions in Kibeho, said that when the news of the first apparition in 1981 began to spread all over the country, certain people started going around saying that they too had seen the Most Holy Virgin Mary. As a church, we judged the first apparitions to be sufficient enough for the sake of faith. The others were merely imitations of them. They brought nothing new to the original apparitions in Kibeho. The three approved visions are those experienced by 16-year-old Alphonsine Mumurek, her peer Natalie, and 21-year-old Marie-Claire Mukangango. On November 28, 1981, Alphonsine, a student at a school run by the Benebikira sisters, was on duty in the lunchroom. She was serving her friends when she heard a warm voice calling out, "My daughter." The girl looked around the room but saw that there was no one there who could address her in that way. So she went out into the corridor, and there she saw a beautiful woman standing in front of her. Later, the visionary said that the Holy Mother was not white like the images. She added, "It's difficult for me to determine the color of her skin, but she was unspeakably beautiful." "Who are you, my lady?" Alphonsine asked. The woman identified herself as Nina Wa Jambo, Mother of the Word. Mary asked which truths of the faith the girl valued the most. "I love God and His Mother, who gave us her Son, our Savior," she said in a reply. Then Mary said, "It is true. I have come to assure you of this. I hear your prayers. I would be pleased if your companions had more faith, because some of them do not believe enough." In Kibeho, Mary said she wanted to help the visionary discover her own vocation. And for this reason, she invited her to join the Legion of Mary. Wow, how cool is that, right? And if you have a Legion of Mary chapter in your parish, consider yourself very, very, very fortunate. And if you don't, then please look them up. And there are chapters in many churches, and it has to be approved by your parish priest, right? And when you think about it, brothers and sisters, the Legion of Mary is to love and follow Blessed Mother. Who doesn't want that in their church, right? Alphonsine expressed her willingness to do so. When Mary left, Alphonsine fell into a numbness that lasted close to a quarter of an hour. And during subsequent visits, the visionaries would fall into a similar state. Alphonsine became an object of mockery and derision as a joke. Some girls began giving her rosaries for the Mother of God to bless. They were amazed when, during the apparitions, the rosaries became so heavy that Alphonsine couldn't pick them up. The second apparition took place the next day, the first Sunday of Advent. Mary said, "I love a child who plays with me because this is a beautiful manifestation of trust and love. Feel like a child with me because I too love to embrace you. No one should be afraid of their mother. You should not be afraid of me, but you should love me." Some people began to pray for Holy Mother to appear to someone besides Alphonsine to confirm the authenticity of the apparitions. And in response to these requests, Mary appeared to Natalie on January 12, 1982. The message directed to her was more mystical than the one Alphonsine received. It was emphasized the necessity of prayer, deep reflection, humility, and sacrifice. The Mother of God repeated one call many times. Wake up, stand up, purify yourselves, and look around carefully. You must dedicate yourself to prayer. You must develop in yourself the virtues of love, devotion, and humility. And in this message, the Holy Mother reminded us, repent, repent, repent. Convert while there is still time. So on March 22nd, the Mother of God appeared to Marie Claire, an impious and sometimes uncouth girl who mocked Alphonsine and always tried to be the center of attention. The Holy Mother urged her to meditate on the Passion of Christ and to recite the Rosary and the Chaplet of the Seven Sorrows. The Chaplet of the Seven Sorrows, also known as the Servite Rosary, is a way to meditate on the seven dolors of Our Lady, the prophecy of Simeon at the Temple of Jerusalem, the flight into Egypt, the loss of Jesus in the temple, the meeting with Jesus on the way to the cross, her presence at the foot of the cross, the descent of Jesus from the cross, and the burial of Christ. When Marie Claire said she would walk from her house to house all over the country and tell people about this chaplet, the Mother of God replied, "You can spread this devotion all over the world without even leaving this place. My grace is mighty." Then Mary asked Marie Claire to sprinkle the crowd that had gathered with the water Mary had blessed. When Marie Claire attempted to do this, she saw trees and flowers in front of her instead of people. "There are too many of them," she said, exclaimed to the Holy Mother. "The field is too big. I cannot do it alone. Please help me." Marie Claire said that this was Mary's way of showing her how vital it is to accept help from heaven. Humans cannot do much on their own. The Holy Mother also told the girl, "When I reveal myself to someone and speak to them, I am speaking to the whole world. If I am addressing the Kibeo parish now, it does not mean I am addressing the Kibeo alone, or the Diocese of Butare, or Rwanda, or all of Africa. I am concerned with the whole world, and I am addressing it." Soon there were seven visionaries. Crowds from all over Rwanda came to pray to their Maria and to witness the amazing apparitions. The last one took place on November 28, 1989, the eighth anniversary of the first apparition. Mary appeared to Alphonsine and announced that all Christians are called to pray, to repent, to obey and love the church, to be faithful to the gospel, and to remain in conformity to the hierarchy of the church. As she left, Mary said, "I love you. I love you very much. Never forget the love I have for you when I come to you." She also assured those present that her message would do much good, not only for them, not only then, but also in the future. Then Alphonsine began singing the Magnificat, and the crowd joined her. During the apparition, all seven of the visionaries saw a terrifying scene of river of blood and headless bodies without number. The vision lasted several hours. It is perhaps Africa's most well-known prophecy. In 1994, a civil war broke out. Of Rwanda's 7 million residents, 1 million were killed. Among them were Marie Claire and her husband. Another 2.5 million Rwandans fled their homes. It is interesting to recall that Alphonsine, Natalie, and Marie Claire saw the Mother of God crying on August 15, 1982. On that day, Mary spoke of the special suffering, saying, I'm sorry, the special meaning of suffering, saying that it was the path one must follow to reach heavenly glory. No one, she said, no one enters heaven without suffering. She added that suffering is a means of reparation for the sins of the world. By participating in the sufferings of Jesus and Mary, we can contribute to the salvation of the world. On June 29, 2001, the Vatican released the declaration of Rwandan Bishop Augustin Misago on the validity of Mary's apparitions to the three young women. Thus, Kibeo became the first Marian apparition in Africa to receive official recognition from the Church. Today, the Kibeo message for the Rwandan nation is the way of the future, a way of reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, I hope this moved you as much as it's moved to me. If you wish to find more, and I will be sharing them based on a beautiful book called The World of Marian Apparitions, Vincenti Lazueski, but it's called The World of Marian Apparitions. And it was this beautiful one that I've shared with you today that I hope you enjoyed. I do have one more, if time allows, and this one comes from Nigeria. And, you know, these are places that sometimes we don't know about. You know, we know about Fatima, you know, we know about the certain ones, you know, Guadalupe, we know them. But these ones, you know, may not be out in the forefront, and I wanted to bring them forward. And look what it had to say about the Legion of Mary. The Legion of Mary. She invited our Blessed Mother. Who else? Mary said she wanted to discover her own right to help her. And so she invited her, invited Alphonsine to join the Legion of Mary. She is endorsing that. She's telling us that this is important. This is very important. If it's coming from our Blessed Mother, my question in all of this has been, and I guess hopefully somebody will give us an answer, but why isn't the Legion of Mary in every church? If it's coming from our Blessed Mother through an apparition of our Blessed Mother in Rwanda to encourage this young girl, to encourage all of us to follow Mary. Having the Legion of Mary is a simple, beautiful, compassionate, revitalizing, rejuvenating, nourishing, comforting group of individuals that our focus is on blessing and praying to the intercession of our Blessed Mother in a very contrite manner. And it is such a beautiful chapter in the church. If you have one, then as I said before, count yourself truly blessed, because I belong to the Legion of Mary here at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Richmond Hill, Ontario, Canada. And I cannot tell you, you know, and I will, you know what, I know time is going to run out. So I will just say that, you know, coming from a teaching background, and I was involved in special education and at all divisions, which meant, excuse me, I was responsible for being quite involved with the application and programming for children of special needs. whether it was a learning disability, autistic, hearing, whether it was vision impairment, or even just anxiety, excuse me. I was involved at the primary level, the junior level, in intermediate level. In other words, I was involved in meetings constantly. And I was, to be honest, I was meeting to death. There would be staff meeting, there'd be a special ed meeting for primary, special ed meeting for junior, special ed meeting for intermediate, right? And then there were, of course, umpteen things that I had to do on top of it, not only teaching, programming, supporting teachers, but testing children as well, and writing up the reports, setting up times for parents to come in and hear the results of their of the tests. So, brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you how much I mean, I loved the job, but it really wasn't a one-man job, and that's what it was for me for many years, till I left one church and they hired two people to do the job. Okay, so what does that tell me? I balked at meetings after when I retired, and I was forced to retire because of my disability. But when I did retire, I thought I never want to be part of another meeting. And the Legion of Mary has weekly meetings. And when I heard that word, meetings, oh no, not again. Here we are again, meetings. That's all I need. Well, it's not really a meeting, brothers and sisters. Yes, we gather together once a week. And let me tell you, I look forward to that gathering each and every Wednesday afternoon. It is the most wonderful time I spend with my brothers and sisters in Christ who love, and we bring honor, and we pray to our Blessed Mother. We say the rosary together. We talk about scripture. We talk about, ways to bring others to our Blessed Mother. That's all our mandate is. But we work as a team. We work together. We support one another. We listen to one another. I cannot underestimate the value, the beauty, and the joy in being part of this beautiful group of individuals that we call the Legion of Mary. Beautiful souls. Brother Vincent, Brother Ken, our leader, Sister Nadine, Sister Karen, Sister Anima, Sister Bongi, Sister, I'm thinking Michelle, and there's myself, and I'm thinking who else, and I'm just at the top of my mouth. And we're not a large group, and some of them are large groups, praise God. But brothers and sisters, look what if it's coming from the Blessed Mother to say, to join the Legion of Mary, that to me, it's coming from the Mother of God, then that should be mandated. That shouldn't even be questioned. That should be an automatic thing in every Catholic Church, is the Legion of Mary. That is my opinion. Whether everyone believes or agrees, I guess that's fine too. But I'm just so grateful to be part of that group. I've never felt more supported and all as one as we worship and praise our Blessed Mother, and we stand in awe of her as we recite the rosary together. All right, so Nigeria. Christiana Agbo was 12 years old, a shy, simple girl from an underdeveloped Nigerian village. She didn't even speak English, which was the official language of the country. But suddenly overnight, she began using the language of former colonizers flawlessly, fluently, with a rich vocabulary. The Holy Spirit gave her the gift of tongues. In this case, the English tongue. Okay. The first news that came to the West was sensational. The Blessed Mother herself asked for the public apparition to be recorded on videotape. Today, the movie, The Mother of God Visits Nigeria, receives flattering reviews from film critics. What's more extraordinary is that the apparitions have been recognized by the local church. In January 1996, Metropolitan Archbishop John Onaiyekan officially confirmed the credibility of the apparition of Our Lady of Aoki. He was the biggest advocate of the apparitions. The reason was rather prosaic. He was granted an apparition of the Holy Mother, and she convinced him of the heavenly visits in his diocese. A book about the appearance of the Mother of God in Aoki received his imprimatur and quickly became a bestseller in Nigeria. In one day, in a single parish, as many as 1,000 copies were sold. The book's title was taken from the apparition, Am I Going to Heaven or Not? One of the church's eminent Mariologists, Father Michael O'Carroll, read it with delight. Many African bishops visited the site of the apparitions and all confirmed their supernatural aspect. This village is located in the Middle Belt region of Nigeria. It is a small settlement located about 4 miles from Agbokolo, the second largest city in this area. This, in turn, is located 25 miles southwest of Otupko, the capital of Idoma region. 50 miles away lies Makurdi, which at the time of the apparitions was the center of the diocese and the capital of the state of Benue. During the apparition, the Blessed Mother herself announced that this forgotten corner of Africa would become known through the world. Okay? So, my friends, my time is just about up, but anyways, we are going to continue, and we can just mention this on another broadcast. It'll have to wait probably in the month of maybe October. We'll go and do this one. But it was there in 1980 that Christiana Agbo was born to a woman named Regina, longtime chairwoman of the Catholic Women Association. Among other efforts, Regina ensured that her daughter received the best religious education available to their family. On September 13th, 1992, one of the Fatima days, Mary, Mother of Jesus, visited Christiana. The visionary recalls, I was in my room praying. Suddenly, the Holy Mother appeared. When she stood in front of me, she said, I am the refuge of sinners. I come from heaven to gain souls to Christ and to shelter my children in my immaculate heart. What I want from you is to pray for the souls of purgatory, for the world, and to console Jesus. Christiana later related, later that month when I was in my room, I saw two singing angels. I do not know what they sang. She says, I got scared and ran away. My brother went and called my mom. However, she said she couldn't see anything. The angels stayed in my room for several minutes until finally one of them announced, I am the angel of peace. And then both of them disappeared. So, brothers and sisters, yes, there is much, much, much hope and joy in discovering the apparitions of our Blessed Mother around the world. Mary intervenes for us in our earthly struggle. She tells us to avoid sin, to repent, to pray, to avoid damnation. And she talks about the ongoing choices we face. Marian messages are repeated warnings and encourage us to make the right choices, to win the prize, and to attain the joys of everlasting life. God bless you all, and bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. just single.